together, our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus. This morning we ask and receive that you bless our hearts with revelation knowledge that is found in your Son. Our hearts are established this morning in the truth found in Christ alone. We behold him as he sees us in him. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many were around yesterday? Yesterday morning? You were around? Hope you were edified. You were edified, right? Right. Or you were blessed. You had a good time? Praise the Lord. Right. It doesn't happen more than once a year, right? Okay? Pastor, can we have it every Sunday? Yeah. By 4 o'clock, all right? You come every Sunday, we have it, all right? Praise the Lord. Exodus 33. Praise God. We've been looking at the greater glory. Praise God. The greater glory. What's the greater glory? Now, Exodus 33, we had Moses, who just after the deliverance, what we call the Exodus experience, of the children of Israel, where they left Egypt on the road to Canaan. Here they are in the wilderness. And then he enters into the tabernacle in verse 9. We're looking at that. And there was a cloudy pillar that descended and stood at the door. And then he talked with the Lord. Then he begins to ask about their journey. And he talks about the presence of God, and then how he's found grace in 13. But we majored on what he said in verse 18. He said, "Show me your glory." Now, you know, the word we said is the word kabod or kabod in the Hebrew, which means it's the same, is the exact opposite. Is the expression your fullness, what you have, what you own, what you have become. Now that's interesting because this is a man who had seen what we can also call the glory of God. He asked for that. And so flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul mirrors the same account. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's start from chapter. You know, Paul, if you followed our teaching on Paul's revelation of identification, I did say that we're doing a study of Paul's identification with the words of Jesus. I believe in January, we will do a bit more of Paul and the Old Testament. We will do a bit of that. But I needed to, even before then, start taking notes of how Paul uses his words, where he got them from. Now, if you go to that chapter 2 before we get to chapter 3, obviously, we've said that John 1:14, if you remember, where John says, the Word became flesh. The Logos, Genomai, that became, existed as the flesh, and dwelt amongst us, which is the word for tabernacle. And we said that that's John mirroring two accounts. Genesis, the Word, Logos, in the beginning, became flesh. That's basically Exodus. So he takes Genesis and Exodus, and then he says Jesus is the fulfillment of it. The Genesis, before creation, God. Then he says, tabernacle. Tabernacle is Exodus. And so he's saying those events mirror Christ. So here's Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We've done this study before. If you've missed Paul's identification, go get the material. In verse 12, 2 Corinthians 2:12. I just want you to get something clear. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. A door was opened unto me of the Lord. Now, doors refer to access. Now, if you look at the New Testament language, doors are never used for finances or favor. as you call it, finances favor business. Now, it's not wrong to state that too if you have a financial door, but the truth is that's not New Testament language. Okay? So it's an opportunity or access. I had no rest or stayed in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. What he means is an opportunity to preach the gospel was opened unto me. Then he says, and taking my leave of them, I went from Athens unto Macedonia. I love the fact that he had not found Titus. It means that in ministry, in the work of ministry, you have very reliable partners. People that they just help out in what you're doing. Very reliable partners that when you see them, the work of the gospel becomes easier. But there are those when you see them, you say, let's wait for so-and-so. Because, you know, they aren't so reliable. Praise the Lord. There's some guys that are just not reliable. I can tell you, some guys are just not. I remember years back, we had this fasting and praying. And then we decided to do, I think it was 14 days or so, to fast and pray for the town I lived in then. We were believing God for a breakthrough in ministry to reach out to, because it was a lively Muslim community. So we all decided to pray. Before then, we had formed the ministry, and everybody was saying, you know, we are going to take this land. And we sang some very good songs. Everybody can sing, but it's when it comes to prayer. Everybody can sing. We're singing this song, God of great courage, source of our strength. We held our hands, Tapalas, Ikorodu. Grant us a spirit, I think it was 93 or so, of unity, so that we one heart with one song of praise. We will glorify you, Lord, all of our days. People were saying, Lord, Lord, this land is yours. And we didn't know that. So I said, we're going to fast and pray for 14 days. The first day, you felt like most of us were going to Golgotha. When the first day starts looking like the 13th day, that fast is not going to last. By the second day, I now came to see one of the brethren just in the afternoon. And I saw a bowl of gari and granola. Even if you are going to sin, not gari. Oh, I'm sorry for that. I'm Ijebu. I shouldn't have said that. I take that back. That's an error of translation. Take that. It's not in your original language, right? But then, Gary is worth temptation. It's one of the best things that happened to humanity. As I was saying now. So he said that he had been trying to tell me that the Spirit of God told him that we don't need to fast. That's what the Spirit of God told him. So which Spirit told me to fast? And one by one, we were about eight of us. One by one, everybody started saying, well, 14 days. One guy said, well, I can do tomorrow, but I just think 14 days is not the fast that is important. It is the heart. Whatever God will do, he will do. So I just decided to stretch mine to 40 days. I just decided that. I was going to do it for 40 days. And ever since then, there is no year that I don't fast at least 60 days to 90. There is no year. Not one year. The whole of September I was fasting. The whole month. I pick months like that. 2-3 months in a year. Praise the Lord. Those things strengthen your conviction. Praise the Lord. I don't look for support in life. No. I only have one support I need. God's word. Hallelujah. And when I'm cool with that, I fire on. And Paul is saying here, I couldn't find Titus. I wasn't at rest. There are people like that in ministry. In your zone, are you like that? Or you're the kind of person when you have arrived, they say, wait, we are waiting for somebody else. Because they know that you are not reliable. But I believe you are reliable. Praise the Lord. And you are walking in faithfulness. See, I'm walking in faithfulness. Well, let's go on now. So Paul says now, I went on to Macedonia, 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. and makes manifest a savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Look at that. You know, he says the savor of his knowledge, the fragrance. Now, this is an Old Testament Leviticus language that has to do with offerings. You know, the Old Testament language that you give an offering to God, then he accepts it. But then, in Christ's interpretation of God's person and character, God is the one that makes the offering. Pay attention now. And the fragrance is amongst men. That's why the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 13, 16, he says in 15, you offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to God by him. Okay? I've seen some people try to say, well, it means sacrifice of praise, there's good works. No, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. Then 16 says, now with the sacrifices that God is pleased, is to do good. I thought the sacrifice was to God. No. He says the sacrifice is of God amongst men to do good. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, by the message of God, that you present your bodies, parastitemi in the Greek, means to display it the way it is. It says you present your bodies. Of course, the word bodies there is not your physical body like your legs and arms, though it's involved. It's the word soma. Many times when you see body, it doesn't necessarily mean just the physical body. It means the person. The person. For example, in Romans 6:6, it says the body of sin is destroyed. That's not physical body. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, I put my body under. That's not your hands and legs. That's your person. Your appetites. So when he says in Romans 12:1, present, parasitemi, exhibit your body, your person, a living sacrifice. Why would he say living sacrifice? Because up till that point, the sacrifice we read about was Christ. So he's not asking you to reflect in your conduct the same sacrifice of Christ. That's again an Old Testament language. So it's not to God, it's of God to man. Matthew 20:28. Go there quickly. Jesus said, the Son of Man has not come to be ministered to, but to minister. I have not come to be served, diakonia, but to be the diakonia, to be the minister, to give himself a ransom, lutron. I gave myself a price, a ransom for many. That changes the narrative. That's not God asking, that's God giving. Just follow what I'm saying this morning now. Come on, let me see your hand before doing that. That's not God asking, that's God giving. Matthew 20:28. So here we go. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable worship or service. Because the word worship there means service. This is your service. So in verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He uses some very familiar words. Don't be conformed to this world. It's the word suchematizo in the Greek. Suche is used for life or manner or behavior. Suche, P-S-U-C-H-E. P-S-U-C-H-E. Suche matizo, M-A-I-T-I-Z-O. It means to have a different lifestyle. To be squeezed. To be remolded. Don't conform to this world, but be ye transformed. Which is another word. Be ye transformed. What do you mean transform? The word transform, there is the word metamorpho, where you have metamorphosis. It means to move from one state to another. Be ye transformed, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of your minds. In other words, Where do you renew your mind? You renew your mind with everything he had said up to chapter 11. Christ's sacrifice should renew your mind. And then you have a new perspective of human living. That based on Christ's sacrifice, you now renew your mind. You can see now when you renew your mind according to Christ's sacrifice, okay, because you are now a living sacrifice, you will now prove dokimazo in the Greek. Dokimazo means to attest, to acknowledge, to prove that it exists. You may prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, if you had read chapter 1 to chapter 10 and 11, what was the will of God shown there? Christ's sacrifice for sins. Am I making any sense here? So, now you will now prove it in your everyday living. Then he says, therefore, in 3, let each man not think more highly than he ought to think, but according as God has dealt to every man that measure of the faith. That measure of the faith. Romans 12:3. And what is he talking about? He says in the body, there are many members, but they don't have the same function. So it is the body of Christ. So, what was he talking about in 1? Service. Presenting your body a living sacrifice, he's not saying, my body is a sanctuary. That's praise worship. That's acknowledging it. Or is there, give me another one of these songs. This is body songs. Tell me one now. That one is positive. Is it Lord I offer? Is that what you say? Very brother. This man is a brother. He's a bro. He went to dig an in now. That's a bro. That one doesn't have cymbals. You sing it in the spirit. But observe that there are songs. You just say, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. My body is yours. It's yours. He doesn't need it. He has purchased it. He doesn't use it. My words, I mean, he wants you to use it for others. That's when he uses it. So, when you say, Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through, use it for your glory, Lord, I... And then you are not in church. You don't go for prayer meetings. You don't give. You are just having concerts. Present it. How? By service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's the language of the Old Testament. Paul takes it and then reworks it in Christ. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, hope you learn something from that. So when he says, he causes us to triumph in Christ, it's like what you call a triumphant procession. Where a man has become a king or he has won a victory. Just like when Arsenal Football Club won the FA Cup back to back. If you don't like that, too bad. And then when we won the FA Cup, we had to go through the streets of London with the FA Cup on the bus and showing people that this has happened. So when he says, causes us to triumph, is to show what has happened. He calls it Christ's gospel in verse 12. And makes manifest the savor. Now, where do you get savor? Where do you get savor in the Old Testament? Sacrifices. The savor of his knowledge. So, what knowledge are we making manifest? Christ's sacrifice. By us in every place. This is not a text for personal victories. It's a text for Christ's victory, service over tyranny, love over hate, light over darkness, love over violence, the spirit over the flesh, life over death. Hallelujah. He says, you will now make manifest the savor of that fact everywhere. Hallelujah. Who can see that's about preaching the gospel? Who can see that? Is that clear? Is that very clear? That's about preaching the gospel. For we are unto God, verse 15, a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. And in them that perish. So the one that has that savor of death to death. That is the man who perishes. The man who considers this foolishness is death unto him. But to us who are saved, who have believed, is life. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Then he says to the other, the savior of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? Can we take verse 17 together? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, did you observe that very regularly, the apostles of Christ always made that distinction of themselves amongst others? We are not like those people who corrupt. The word corrupt, the word, is that those who make a gain from it. They are not preaching Christ. They are not preaching a sacrifice. They are preaching gain. Who make a gain? Who profits from it? In fact, some versions say, who peddle it? I think it's one version that says, we're not oxters. Oxters. A fellow was preaching somewhere, I was watching it because I was hosted by a friend that I know. So I decided to watch the session. I don't have time to watch what people preach. I've got too much time, really, not to have that kind of time. So the guy said, Abraham was blessed. Do you know why Abraham was blessed? He knew how to offer sacrifice. And then he was sweet tongued. He said, you know, years ago I went to the social and so country. I had just one car. But look at me today. Look at me. And I had three houses. Why are you telling us? Does it belong to all of us? No, we need to tell pastors who come on the pulpit to tell us what they own. By saying it now, does it belong to us together? Then why are you telling us? Is it our house? Tell us the one that belongs to all of us is found in Christ. Hallelujah. We don't have a problem with what you have in your account, but that's not our business. Tell us the one that belongs to all of us. Praise the Lord. I just switched off. I said, this is nonsense. This is nonsense. I don't have time for this. I'd rather watch Battleground. Where were we? Praise the Lord. So we are not oxers. We're not. The gospel is not a means for gain. No. I tell a lot of young preachers, you have the chance now so that you won't start cursing people later. Go and work. Go and get your certificate. Dust it. Go and apply for a job. That favor you preach to, you apply it. The favor is there. You have favor. You go and apply. Let's see that favor work. When you start seeing your CV with the person selling Akara, you see your CV with your degree there, first class. And your CV. Hallelujah. I remember one time we were interviewing people for a position. So when we're done with the CVs, I said, what do we do with this one? My partner said, let's give it to those who said, it's not fair. How will you give it? He said, so what do you want to do? You want to go and bind it and put it in your house? I said, no, it's just so funny. How would you give it to somebody selling granite? And you have Lagos State University. Epe. nothing intended. I just said, that was just what came to my mind. It wasn't intended to be evil on anybody. Praise the Lord. But tell young preachers, go and get a work. Apply. 8 to 5. Don't sit in the office, church office, praying for people. I declare this week is your week of success. You go and declare the week for yourself first. Hallelujah. Are you in church? We are not of them. Say we are not of them. We don't peddle the word of God. Alright, very good. So verse 1. So he uses the Old Testament language there. So the savor comes from the knowledge of what Christ has done. Then in chapter 3 verse 1. Do we again begin to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, a piece of commendation to you? Or let's commend from you. That is, I'm not trying to give myself kudos. You are our epistle, praise God. The fruit of ministry are men. In our hearts, known and read of all men. Now look at the progression. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Now, these guys, every time Paul is teaching, they have the Old Testament with them. So he's teaching from the Old Testament. Then he says to them, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in the tables of stones, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. He goes to Exodus 33 and 34. That's where he is now. Exodus 33 and 34. That's where he is. And he says, take your eyes off those stones. Put your hands in Exodus 34 quickly. That's where Paul is. Hallelujah. Verse 4. And he showed two tables of stone, like unto the first. He rose up early in the morning and went among the Mount Sinai, as the Lord commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. Are you following now? Are you following? He says, not on the tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Remember? Jeremiah's prophecy says, this new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days. Jeremiah 31, 33. I will write my laws, where? On their minds. Put it in their inward parts. So God's work is in the heart. Whatever was in the stone was figurative. So he's saying here, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Watch this now. Still have your hands in Exodus 33. Are you still in Exodus 33? Are you in Exodus 33? Because we're doing a study. So if you were to, like I asked last week, if you were to have a commentary, a Bible that has commentary, what would you put in your sense of reference? What? What would you put in your sense of reference? If you were to, in that verse 5. Sorry, verse 3. What would you put in your sense of reference there? Huh? Okay, now if you were in 2 Corinthians 2:14, you will look for text of the Old Testament that has to do with sacrifice, and you put it there as your reference. Come on. That's Bible study. Praise God. So go back to 2 Corinthians 3:5. In verse 3, 2 Corinthians 3, you have Exodus 34, right? Is that what you put in there? Verse 4. Very good. As such as we have through Christ to God what? Now, don't ever forget that this was after Exodus 33. Moses had just asked the golden question, show me your glory. He had the tables of stone. He had the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone. He had seen the miracles, signs and wonders. Then he still asks, show me your glory. And this is what Paul is explaining here. And so, in verse 4, and so trust are we through Christ to God's word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Hallelujah. But our sufficiency is of God. Say, my sufficiency is of God. Watch this now. Who also, glory to God. What's he doing? He is previewing you from Moses. He says, who also has made us. Now, he's making a comparison between our ministry and Moses' ministry. Who also has made us able ministers of what? The New Testament.
not of the letter.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Not of the letter. Now, what is the letter now?
What was written on stone. He's not saying, not of the letter. Forget this letter. You're just preaching letter. Let me have Rema. Bring your head. Let me give you some hug.
What is the letter again?
What was written on stones? Hallelujah.
Not of the letter, but of the Spirit.
Glory to God. Letter will refer to the tables of stone. The Spirit will be the work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? For the letter killeth. Last week I showed you what that means. It is caused to what? Die. The letter killeth. It's not saying the letter will kill you. The letter killeth. But the Spirit gives life, which means the Spirit, which is the word used for resurrection. Zopohio, Z-O-O-P-O-I-O-O. To make alive.
Praise the Lord.
What is Paul writing about? Can you remember Wednesday? Exodus 33.
No man sees me,
I will leave. How did we interpret that? Who can tell me? Exodus 33, verse 20. Thou canst see my face, for there shall no man see me and leave. No, you can't see my face yet. Because that will mean the incarnation of Christ. So when that happens, it will cause you to be alive. Remember we said that? Chahye in the Hebrew. That is, my incarnation will bring in the resurrection. And so Paul is using the same phrase here. The Spirit gives life. So verse 6 is telling you that what Moses desired has happened. It has happened. Verse 7. For if the ministration of death written and engraven were in stone. Was glorious. Was glorious. So that the children of Israel could not behold the face of Moses for the glory, pay attention, of that which was to be done away. Exodus 34. Verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, where he came down from Mount, Moses wished not the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And they were very afraid. And then in verse 34, and Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him. He took the veil off until he came out. So that's exactly where Paul is getting this from. He says, this glory was to be done away. That means a physical demonstration. They were to be done away. Then he says in the next verse, how shall not, hallelujah, hallelujah, the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now, who can tell us the short form of the ministration of the Spirit? What can you call the ministration of the Spirit today? If you're going to apply it to someone, what would you call it? Who can give me an idea? Yep. What is the ministration of the Spirit? Just one sentence or one word. I can hear murmuring. The new birth. Who agrees with the new birth? Is it the new birth? Who agrees with the new birth? What? Or is it flowing with the Holy Ghost? Well, flowing with the Holy Ghost is from the new birth. But this is the new birth. The ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious. So, what is the greater glory? What is a greater glory? What is a greater glory? God in man. You know, God in man, listen carefully, is responsible for the new birth. So he says, be rather glorious. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed where? In glory. That's the greater glory. That's it. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by the reason of the glory that excelleth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have two kinds of glory. There's a glory that remains. There's a glory that fades away. So when Moses was demonstrating the power of God amidst Israel, there was still a greater glory. So we said last week that that glory points to the greater glory. It is a signboard, a signpost to the greater glory. The miracles, the signs, and the wonders, they are to evidence a greater work of the Spirit of God. Whatever God does in the physical is to evidence what he shall do or what he has done in the spirit or in the heart of man. And so that's the argument of Paul here. He says, watch this. For if that which is done away was glorious, verse 11, much more though that which remains is glorious. Seeing then, verse 12, that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. I showed you the word blinded. Puro in the Greek. P-O-R-O-O. It means hardened. That's not God. That's their decision. They were hardened. Unbelief. So can a man see the glory of God in miracles, signs, and wonders and still not believe? Talk to me, church. Yes. Hebrews chapter 3, quickly. So it's on Wednesday, you see it again. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 8. Harden not your heart. Watch that. Hebrews 3. As in the day, in the provocation, pardon me, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for how long? For how long? So they saw miracles, signs, and wonders for how long? 40 years. Hallelujah. 40 years. And he says here, their minds, verse 14, was blinded. For until this day remains the same veil on taking away in the reading of the Old Testament. But glory to God. That veil is done away where? In Christ. Now, is he talking about a physical veil or a spiritual one? Huh? However, what Moses did in Exodus 33 and 34, they were done in the physical, but they point to something where? In the spiritual. That's what Paul is saying here. He says the veil is done away in Christ. So let's ask this question. Why did Moses walk signs and wonders? To make men listen to the gospel. That's it. Signs and wonders are not the message, but they point our attention to hear it. Of course, not for the believer. Not for the believer. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So I told you, when you see a church or ministry built on signs and wonders, physical signs and wonders, hear what I'm about to say. You are seeing a church breeding unbelieving believers. If you observe, and this is so very vital, in the Old Testament, where was the gospel found? In the utterances or in the signs and wonders? In the New Testament, in all the gifts of the Spirit, which one takes preeminence? Utterances or the power gifts? Do you understand it now? Do you understand it now? Was that because it's the New Testament, or it has been like that from the Old Testament? Huh? Let's go over it again. In the Old Testament, which one took preeminence? The utterances or the signs and wonders? Why? Because the utterances contained the prophecies, the information about who? Christ. The explanation, even of the miracles, were in the utterances. So, again, in the epistles, which one takes preeminence? The signs and wonders or the utterances? Is that clear? So, which one is more spectacular? Signs and wonders. Which one is more supernatural? Is it making sense? Does that make sense? Who's following what I'm saying here? If you don't understand, let me see your hand. You don't understand. What did you understand? I started. Were you around last week? You were around last week. Which part didn't you understand? I'll go right. What I just said now. Moses talked about Christ to his audience. That's the gospel. Moses worked miracles. Is that the gospel? The miracles were to point their attention to the utterances. Is it clear now? Very good. So which one has preeminence? The utterances or the signs and wonders? The utterances. Now in the New Testament too, which one is predominant in the church? The miracles or the utterances? Huh? Miracles? Why would you say that? It's not the miracles. Praise the Lord. Is it clear for you now? The miracles, though. The miracles are more with the unsaved. They happen with the saved, but they don't take the preeminence. The preeminence among the saved are the utterance, then the revelation gifts, then the power gifts. Because we are believers. Miracles don't edify, but utterances do. Is it clear? Does it make sense to you now? Is it clear now? Very good. So, which one is more supernatural, utterances or signs and wonders? Which one is more spectacular? Hallelujah. Are you still there? Is it making sense now? So, which one displays the greater glory the more? The signs and wonders or... I'm setting a trap for you. I've already said it. The signs and wonders or the utterances? Say nothing. Say nothing. Hallelujah. We'll get to that. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You learning something? You learning something? Look at it again. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is where? Upon their heart. Now let me ask you a question. What did Jesus do the most? Preaching or healing the sick? Huh? Preaching. Why did he heal the sick? So they can hear his message. And the healing of the sick, we showed you this a couple of times. And the miracles he did were pointers to his work in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Very good. So here he goes. Verse 15. Even until this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. How serious. The spiritual veil is upon their heart. Let's take 16 together. Nevertheless, let's go. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When it shall turn to the Lord. Epistrepho. when you shall turn around to the Lord. That is from unbelief to faith. The veil shall be taken away. You see, the physical veil or the spiritual one. And what now happens? What Moses asked to see will be seen. And where is it found? It's found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On Wednesday, we looked at when Moses mentioned the cleft of the rock. Can you remember that? I will hide you, cover my face and all that. It was not a drama of man not seeing God. And when he sees God, he will die or see God's backside. I explained all that to you on Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you get the material. Listen to it. So here is Paul bringing in that narrative. This is verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Can we take verse 17 together? Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Woo! Come on, stop in there. The Lord is where? That Spirit. How about that? The Lord is that Spirit. So, from verse 3 to verse 6 to verse 7 to verse 8, it says, the Lord is that Spirit. Hallelujah. Christ is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. The Lord. Remember when he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. I believe so strongly that he did it for a purpose. And that's why you discover that miracle is one of the ones that's not repeated again in the book of Acts. It doesn't have a semblance at all. At all. It doesn't have a semblance. Other ones can be re-explained, but that one doesn't, is not replayed. When he caught fish, said, Peter, come, I'll make you a fisher of men. Hallelujah. When he turned water to wine, he said, my time has not come. What does it mean, my time has not come for water to wine? That's the new covenant. He had reasons. Every time he did a miracle of supply, it had a meaning. In John 6, he multiplies 5 loaves and 2 fish. As they were eating, he says, you know what, guys? Labor not for the meat that perishes. That brings in Moses in the picture. Moses gives manna, and he says, man, he said, I gave you this bread, so you will know that man shall not live by bread alone. What do you mean by that? You gave us bread to eat so that we will live by it alone. Everything had instructions. So Jesus multiplies 5 loaves and 2 fish as they were, I think it was even sliced bread. They were putting fish, spiritual sardine, or miraculous sardine. Tell me, can we just live here? As they were eating, and they were down somewhere, celebrating. And he said, look, why do you guys come after me for the miracles, for the bread? And I said, is that wrong? Is that wrong? God knows we have need of supply. Then he says, labor not for the meat that perishes. Who multiplied the bread? Himself. And he's still saying, labor not for the meat that perishes. So there are things that God does that will perish. Hallelujah. And there's what he does that is eternal. Then he said, what do you mean by that? He said, this bread is nothing. He said, Moses gave you not that bread which is from heaven. I am the bread that came from heaven. Watch that. Then he began, I am the living bread. If you eat of me, you will never hunger again. You will never die. As he continued, everybody became confused. You know, Jesus said many things that you just look at him and say, is this man well? How can you be in the temple and say, destroy this temple after 3 days, I'll raise it up. I say, bless his muscles. He doesn't even have money. Do you know how much it took was when he rose from the dead that they remembered and said he was talking about his body. I believe that when he said to Peter, go to the mouth of the fish, you will see coin, bring it out from his mouth. He was saying something figuratively. Because Peter never found, we have no record that Peter caught fish and found coin in the mouth. Just like we have no record, he destroyed the temple. Hallelujah. We have no record. There are things he said. Come unto me and drink if you are thirsty. They looked at him. How many buckets does he have? We have no record anybody did like it and drank. He said many things figuratively. So people say, miracle money. Is there no in the Bible? What's miracle money? You open, you just see your account, a lot from nobody. You can say that one in Nigeria as a testimony, and you get away with it. Because when people come to church, they give their brain to the usher. And then when they are going, they collect it back. That's why they react at the car park. Because their brain is back. Say, miracle money. Isn't I just see money under my cap? Lord, I thank you. I give you praise. From nobody. It must have been taken from someone. Stolen? No. It's not stolen. God does not steal. He just takes. You have tried. So, there are things that Jesus will say. And when they were getting confused, what is he talking about? If you drink my blood, eat my flesh. You have life in you. Then he says, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The words I speak to you, they are spirit. His own spirit is the bread. His own spirit is the blood. His own spirit is the flesh. So Paul now says, the Lord is that spirit. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? The Lord is that spirit. Get back there now. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is dancing. Huh? You remove your suit. You are just like Jew of Israel. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. That means the veil is off. We can see what Moses didn't see. Hallelujah. The veil is off. We have a full expression of God in Christ. There's liberty. Verse 18. We all praise God with open face. Behold us in the glass, the glory of the Lord. And so we are changed. How? Let's start like this. From glory to glory to glory to glory. I recall in 1998, I was to teach in a conference. Was it 98 or 97? I think it's 97. I was teaching a conference and I was a guest speaker and then I was the opening speaker. And the theme was the glory of the latter house. And so one of the texts was this scripture, glory to glory. And so why they were saying that was they were moving from one place to another. You know how we reason as Catholics. So it's from glory to glory. And so I was the opening speaker. They brought a fellow from Brazil, other ministers and all that. And I said to them that the glory of a latter house is not the change of your venue. It has nothing to do with that. The glory of the latter house is the life of God in man. In fact, the guest speaker, he just said, well, you have just changed my entire teaching notes. We have to change it. So he told me, say, you know, I like you very much. You are a teacher. I am an evangelist. You teach, we do. It was so forward. The second session, I now decided to have a Holy Ghost meeting. They came back and said, I think you are an evangelist and teacher. Hallelujah. The Lord is that spirit. So when he says we are changed from glory, what glory? The glory that fades away. So the glory that is permanent. The new birth. The glory of this latter house. The greater glory. to the same image, even as by the same Spirit of God. In other words, the incarnation is reflected in the new birth. The incarnation of Christ is reflected in the new birth. Brother Hagin said this in one of his materials. I'm trying to remember the book. He said the new creation, the new birth, is like a reproduction of the incarnation. And some guys took him on in. Said, what's that? How can you say that? And they said all lot of things. But I now told one of them, you know, sometimes when you don't like someone, you pick on his words out of context. I told the guy a couple of months ago, I said, Kenneth Hagin has people like us to defend the things he preaches. And we're going to do it well. Hallelujah. I said, Isaiah said he will see his seed and prolong his days. The word seed there is for a generation. I said, what it means, I said, is Jesus in the resurrection not the same as in the incarnation? He said, yes, he is. Brilliant. In the resurrection is a new creation found in Christ. He said, yes. So what's wrong with Kenneth Hagin's statement? The incarnation is reproduced in the new creation. Say, not the way you have said it. You are just biased. Hallelujah. So, what's going on there? What Moses desired to see was found in Christ becoming a man. God becoming a man. And here we are. In what happened when he gave life. When he rose from the dead. We see it today. In the new birth. Paul says we are changed into the same image. Someone say the same image. Say the same image. So the image of the incarnation in the resurrection. We are changed into that incorruptible glory of God. Hallelujah. Are you listening now? By the same Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That's important. You see, can you say he's saying it again? Don't handle the word of God deceitfully. The guy that was talking about Isaac, he said, show your Isaac. Where is your Isaac? He said, the moment God saw Isaac, that Abraham was prepared to give Isaac. He said, Abraham, forget it, you are blessed. That's what the guy said. Forget it, you are blessed. There's nothing you can do again. You have no choice. You will be rich. That's God. He said, yes. Are you ready to challenge God today? Handling the word of God deceitfully. I told someone, I said, I don't have a problem with the Isaac offering. Just ensure that you do it in a figure and receive it back like Abraham. So when they bring the offering back, put the Isaac there and take it back in the figure. And say, the Lord himself will provide a lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the word of God deceitfully. Are you still there? Are you there? Hey, Isaac sold in that land. Which land? When did you become a land? You, one person. You are that land. He got a hundredfold. He sold. Is it because you are not a Christian? You don't know what soul means. As a Christian, when you go to school, A for apple, apple. You don't say A for glory of God. Isaac sowed in that land meant he planted. Chicken, huh? Hallelujah. Get back here. Not handling the word of God, what? Deceit. Praise the Lord. But by manifestation of the truth. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look at 3. If our gospel be hid, Glory to God. So everything he has been talking about here is the gospel. It is he to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world. That means when the children of Israel were blinded towards the gospel, Satan was involved. Satan reigns where unbelief reigns. That's interesting. Despite the miracles, signs and wonders, the God of this world was still able to blind the hearts of men. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Let's finish it together. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hallelujah. Let's take verse 5 together. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. Can we take 6 together? For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face. So what was the face God and Moses were talking about? Jesus Christ. Let's take verse 7 together now. Go. We have this treasure in the heaven vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say the treasure is here. Say the treasure is here. Say the treasure is here. Lift your two hands. Say the treasure is here. Hallelujah. Say the desire of Moses. Desire of Moses is here. This is the greater glory. Resident in this mortal body. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. The treasure is here. Moses sought for that treasure, but the treasure is here. The greater glory is here. Hallelujah. 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 Don't miss believers convention. We have some truths to learn. Praise the Lord. Some great truths. I'm trying not to talk into that level. Is that clear? Don't miss it. Don't miss any of the sessions. So, he says the treasure is in this earthly vessel. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now that we are in Christ, we have the greater glory. That wealth of God, that awesomeness of God. So I say, you are awesome in this place. Paramount say, you are awesome in this. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. If I say, as I come into your presence, I pass the gates of praise. That's the praise worship session. May your sanctuary. To behold you face to face, I look upon your countenance. I see the, that, I think it's Keith Stetson that sang that song. See the fullness of your grace. That's in the church. I can only bow down. Of course, the keyboard will help your ignorance more. I was telling the pastor guy, a friend, I said, this one that you want to spend all the money to get equipment, you get good equipment and they'll be singing nonsense. Why not teach the word first before equipment? Whether you have glass around your drum set or your keyboard is up like this, at the end of the day, you are thinking, you are awesome in this place. The expensive, it doesn't mean anything. It's what really is important. And there will be some people under the tree who will sing, you are awesome in my life. At the end of the tree, they don't have, mighty God. So, we have come into your presence. We pass the gates of grace. Now we are your sanctuary. Under the tree, we've looked upon your countenance. We have the fullness of your grace. We can only bow. They're under the tree. You are in the tree. It's wasted money. I'm not abusing you. So we have the greater glory. So we have the greater glory. Hallelujah. If a temple built with gold is not his house,
We should, therefore, give more value to the Spirit of God. What has He done? The greatest work of God on earth is a new birth. God is yet, and He cannot match it again. Not even excel it. God can't match it again because there's nothing more that can be done. The greatest work of God on earth is a new birth. That work of the Spirit. That's the glory of God. He brings a man. You know, the Jews never fulfill a man be raised from the dead. And God raises Jesus from the dead. But you know, Jesus being raised from the dead physically was a pointer to a greater event. A dead man spiritually is now alive forever. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, we don't think you are awesome in this place. No. You are awesome in our hearts. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this the temple. You deserve to abide in the garden of your people. So we lift our hands. That's toasting. Eh? No, we say, we know. I remember I heard that song in one Redeemed Church. No, I don't think so. It was 96, 95, Redeemed Church. Yeah. We had this Basilac conference, January 96. I think it's 95. And I told him, I said, don't sing that song again. Eh? The pastor looked at me. Eh? I said, don't sing that song here again. It's not scripture. I was an invited minister. Hear me well. Which one is better? They were looking at me. We know you're in this place. We know you're in this new creation. And we know you're not in their faces. You abide on the inside of your children. So we lift our hands as we lift. They couldn't argue with them. So I got their anger to dispel. And we offer our praise unto your name. You know that song? Let's take it together. I know you're inside me. I know you're in this new creation. And I know you abide. You abide on the inside. On the inside of your children. So I lift my hands. As I lift my voice. As I offer up praise unto your name.
Take it again. I know you're inside me.
I know you're inside me. Yes, I know, and I know you're in this new creation, and I know, yes, I know you abide on the inside of your children. So I lift my hands as I lift my voice as I offer up praise unto your name.
For the last time. I know you're inside me for the last time. Come on.
I know you're inside me. Yes, I know, and I know. And I know. Yes, I know you're in this new creation. And I know you are the inside of your children. So I lift my hand. Yes, I do.
And I lift
my voice as I offer up praise unto your name.
Hallelujah. Some of our songs you sing by the word, as you sing them, they affirm the word and they also reaffirm what you know. You know, there's something about singing the word. It edifies you. It's not exciting. It edifies you. But songs that are not the word, they confuse you. They may look lovely in music, but when the lyrics don't glorify God, they don't edify you. Hallelujah. So where is this treasure? It's here. Where is this treasure again? It's here. So look at Mark 16. We're going to close from here. Mark 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark 16. Verse 15. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Hallelujah. Is that the greater glory? Is that the greater glory? Watch this now. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs, glory to God. These signs, so the signs. Did the signs end with the Old Testament? No. So the reason for the signs in the Old Testament is still the reasons for the signs today. They point to a message. They point to a reality. These signs shall follow. Semeion in the Greek. I explained that to you the other time. It means to indicate the presence of someone or something. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow. The word follow there in the Greek means be devoted to them that believe. In my name. Can we say in the greater glory? Can we say in the greater glory? You will cast out what? Demons. Demons. Ministry. You speak with new tongues. In my name. You take up serpents that deal with the works of Satan in the lives of people. You drink any deadly thing, you won't hurt them. You lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. We don't seek for signs. We are believers. We don't watch for signs to hear the word. We are believers. His signs are upon our lives to take his message to the world so that men will hear it and men will believe it. The greater glory now brings to us a ministry of Christ, where the signs now announce the Christ and point like a signpost for men to hear of him. Woe to God that the churches will understand this. That the signs and wonders are for ministry. Primarily, for men to hear the message of Christ. That's what they are for. That's what they are for. Primarily, that's what they are for. In John 14, let's read that quickly. Verse 12. Jesus, in his closing statements, John 14, 12. He that believes on me, the works that I do, hallelujah. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. I am a believer. I am a believer. Say, he that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do. Say, I do the works of Jesus. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Speak another tongue. Begin to see yourself as who you are. Speak another tongue. You are a believer. The words of Jesus don't fall to the ground. No, they don't. They don't. The greater glory is here. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Amen. The works that I do. Put your name in that verse. Shall he do also? And greater. Hallelujah. Because I go to my Father. He's not adding to it. It means that is greater. Because I'm now living in him, the greater glory. The works I do, he will do. It's the greater because I go to my Father. What does that mean? I come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And greater. Why? Because I go unto my Father. In verse 13, whatever you shall ask in my name, in that finished work, in that glorified Son. He says, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he has anything in my name, I will do it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Today I pray for you that your eyes will behold him as he sees you in him. You are not a sign seeker. You are the tabernacle of God. You carry the greater glory. As you go from place to place, you spread the fragrance of his knowledge. This is Christ in the earth. This is Christ in the earth. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, till the very end of the age." This is Christ in the earth. This is the treasure. Moses' riches are here. The glory of God is here. The greater glory is here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift those hands wherever you are and just bless them.